Smith, Harriet, Battle Creek, Michigan, June 1860. Dear Sister, Harriet Smith, I think it is my duty to write you a few lines this morning. After we came home from the West, you well know a burden rested upon us. We have felt no union with the church generally, and have spent our Sabbaths at home. But I will go back. When we came from the East, I told James that I had no liberty to bear my testimony in the church at Battle Creek, but he urged me to do so. I continued to do so, but to the discouragement of my own soul. When I prayed in the meeting house, I had so little freedom. I told my husband it should be the last time. I knew not the occasion of all this. I felt the same when relating or reading a vision in Uriah Smith, and your presence. I was reluctant to do so, and had no freedom, and felt a strange dissatisfaction after doing so. While at Knoxville, Iowa, some things were explained to me which I was ignorant of before. While at a meeting at Brother Kellogg's, John Preston Kellogg, the whole matter, as was shown me in Knoxville, was opened before me. Things came vividly to mind which it had been impossible for me to recall. I was shown, while at Knoxville, the state of things at Battle Creek. I was shown the case of C. Smith's, Cyrenius Smith, family, and was pointed back to the visions which they had not heeded. Then I saw Fletcher, John Fletcher Byington, Uriah, yourself, and other individuals. It seemed to be a chain of connection with dissatisfied feelings and watching James and me with jealousy and suspicion. Uriah and James were shown me a distance apart from each other, not united. Darkness was in the office. The angels of God were grieved and had but little to do with the work there. There was a secret dissatisfaction, all carried on in darkness, concealed from us. Then I saw Wagoner and the communications between him and Uriah. Uriah wronged James in writing to Brother Wagoner, and Brother Wagoner wronged him by not being open and frank. If Brother Wagoner had said to Uriah, "If Brother White is wrong in his feelings in regard to you, I am more so. I have burdened his mind with my feelings in regard to these things. Do not judge harshly of Brother White in this matter, for I was equally to blame." Then matters would have been left in a different shape. But that matter was not left right. It was left half finished with all the censure upon James, like many other things. God frowns upon such injustice. There was occasion for Brother White's feelings and Brother Wagoner's, but their feelings were too strong, and their course was wrong in not going directly to Uriah and talking over matters with him. But Uriah's and your wrong was still greater in carrying the matter to others and writing to walk on before speaking to James upon the matter. Harriet, I saw that a strange work has been going on here for months in the past. There has been a strengthening of the hands of one another in unbelief of the visions because the wrongs of some have been reproved. I feel crushed in spirit, and that I have been abused. I have no more testimony to bear in Battle Creek until there is an entire change. This is darker than the work in Rochester, New York, and is certainly worse, for I saw that they had this example and their present condition before them as a warning. Harriet, I was carried back and shown that there has never been a reception of the visions given in Paris, Maine. It is still looked upon that Brother White dealt too plainly, and you are not free in this matter. From what has been shown me, he dealt no plainer than the case deserved, and the dissatisfaction and warfare against the testimony and visions there borne must be seen, felt, and acknowledged, or they will be subject to wrong influences and the temptations of the devil. They will appear to be united with us, but when in God's order plain dealing or reproofs are given, all the past is called up and the same warfare commences, and they are more liable to sympathize with those who are wrong than with the right. All these things will have to be realized and thorough work made. The influence and feelings which existed in Paris has affected your judgment and still sways your mind. You have received and cherished feelings that Brother White was too hard and severe, and if one is censured or has plain matters of facts laid upon them, they complain of Brother White's severity. You stand all ready to sympathize with them. In this, you come short of being a co-worker with God and His angels. God lays a burden on His servant that things are not right. He must bear a plain testimony. It is not pleasant for him to do this. He would gladly be excused, but must do his duty regardless of consequences. Who then, I ask, deserves the sympathy? The one who feels the burden and in the fear of God discharges his duty? Or the erring one who caused trouble and burden by grieving the Spirit of God?
Just as long as God has a people, just as long as He has a church, He will have those who will cry aloud and spare not, who will be His instruments to reprove selfishness and sins, and will not shun to declare the whole counsel of God, whether men will hear or forbear. I saw that individuals would rise up against the plain testimonies. It does not suit their natural feelings. They would choose to have smooth words spoken unto them, and have peace cried in their ears. You would choose to be flattered and caressed, but this is not the work that God has assigned us. Individuals have been watching James with jealousy and suspicion, and the feelings and prejudices have been communicated to each other, while he was left in darkness as to the real state of their feelings, and they were doubting the messages which the Lord has given. I saw that a great trial was before the church at Battle Creek. I saw that James must be careful whom he trusted or confided in, for he was watched by some of his brethren at Battle Creek, and watched by those in the office, especially by yourself, Uriah, and Fletcher. I saw that the leaven of dissatisfaction that worked in Paris and Rochester has been at work here. The messages which the Lord gave in Paris were doubted. The plain reproofs that my husband there bore were not received, but he was looked upon as being hard and severe. But I was shown that had he borne a more mild testimony, he would have merited the displeasure of God. The feelings of those in Paris were not in union with the Spirit and work of God, and they realized not the sacrifices and self-denial that must be made by them, as well as others, to fill their place in the work of God. When they were reproved, instead of searching carefully their own hearts and confessing their wrongs, self rose right up, saying, "It cannot be so." They dwelt upon Brother White's harshness and severity, sympathized with each other, linked together in their unbelief and dissatisfaction. They never yet have seen and realized their wrong course or our sufferings in Paris, which need not have been as severe if they had taken a right course. All this is recorded and will yet appear before them in its true light, just as heaven regards it. They were willing to think they had been dealt with too severely. Satan helped them in the matter. Angels were grieved and turned from them, and they went into great darkness. They had rejected the means which God had chosen to correct them, and their discernment between a right and a wrong spirit was gone. Brother Andrews sympathized with his friends in Paris. Their feelings and their course of action affected him, influenced his mind and his judgment, and his sympathies were perverted, and he often stood on the side of those who were cautioned or reproved, which caused trouble instead of healing the difficulties. This all arose from not having his sympathy and influence with those whom he should have confidence in, and leaving those to bear and fully feel their burden who were not right, that by diligent search of their own course, they might make straight and thorough work. Things at Paris were left at loose ends, all prepared for Satan to tangle into a perplexing knot to suit himself. They never have realized their wrongs and taken them out of the way. The bars were left down for Satan to step in and possess the field. When everything moves on smoothly, then past dissatisfactions and difficulties originating in Paris lie dormant. But when reproof is given, the same warfare commences. Brother White is wrong. He is severe. He was hard back there. He is the same now. Jealousy and hard feelings arise. And as he is in union with the visions, as the visions and his testimony agree, the visions are doubted. Satan has worked secretly, first at Waukon and then at Battle Creek, to affect and overthrow the work of God. I was pointed back, away back, to the time when those in Paris, especially Brethren Andrews and Stephen's families, were ensnared by error, and for years were in a perfect deception of Satan. They suffered while in this error, but they never will obtain a particle of reward for it. If they had been willing to be taught and had received light in God's appointed way, they would not have been held in error, fanaticism, and darkness all that length of time. But self would not yield to the light God gave. Their feelings and impressions were sufficient evidence for them, and they would not be corrected until they were overwhelmed and compelled to acknowledge the power of God and that they were wrong. God has given them since that time unmistakable evidence of his work and wonderful manifestations of his spirit. Repeatedly have they been slain by the power of God, and while the impression remains, all is well. But when the impression wears away, the same wrong feelings return, and self arises, because they did not make thorough work behind them.
I saw that it was of the greatest importance that they make thorough work in regard to the past. I was brought down to Rochester and saw the same suspicion and jealousy existed there. Your influence was not good, and I saw that things in Rochester and vicinity were in such a condition that God would have us leave Rochester just when we did. And I saw that there had been a lack of frank acknowledgement from Brother John Nevins Andrews, yourself, and others, that it was the special work of God, our leaving Rochester at the time we did, notwithstanding the most positive evidence has been given of this, to seal that whole work of God, the prosperity God has given the office and the cause since the removal to Battle Creek. Yet there has not been straight work in acknowledging this as God's special providence. While God was directing and counseling in regard to these matters, so that his work could move forward with freedom, their feelings were in opposition to it. Had they been standing in the counsel of God, they would have been in union with his work and with the angels. But individuals were ignorantly warring against the leadings of God and had no realizing sense of their fearful position of being united with evil angels in their opposition to the advancement of God's work and his opening providence. Had they believed that the Lord had shown in regard to these matters, they need not have moved in such perfect blindness. All that work of God must be acknowledged, and with decision a position taken in these things, or Satan will improve every opportunity to throw in doubts, suggestions, and jealousy, and the leaven will continue to work. This leaven must be rooted out. When God's hand is reached down and he moves his people to the right or left, it is of the greatest importance that they acknowledge his hand
and firmly take their position that God has done this. The state of things in Rochester should be a warning to all who are tempted to doubt the teachings of God, or to find fault with the straight testimony and reproofs given by Brother White. The angels of God do not hover in mercy over Rochester. A curse has rested there, and all the deeds and cruel work of those in Rochester and vicinity are recorded. Satan has kept the mind in perfect darkness in regard to these things. God is not to be trifled with. Sufferings and agony his servants bore in Rochester. While striving with all their energies to do his work, Satan was at war with them, and evil angels, and many professing the present truth, united with these evil powers to discourage and cause mental anguish which might have been avoided. They were co-workers with the powers of darkness. All this is faithfully chronicled, yet notwithstanding the example of Rochester and their present condition, which should be a warning, the same work has been going on at Battle Creek in a secret, underhanded, deceptive manner. The same spirit which existed in Paris and Rochester has revived, and there is no safety or confidence to hope for better things until the past is all straightened out by frankly acknowledging God's work, if it tears self and self-dignity all to pieces. There is a thorough opposition in this place against plain testimony, and, Harriet, none are so thoroughly opposed to it as yourself. Yet you are in close connection with the work of God, and in constant opposition and rebellion to the one he has laid burdens upon to reprove, to counsel, and manage in his cause. Says the true witness, "I know thy works." It has been to disaffect the minds of others in regard to James, to place him in a wrong light before them, and put on a distressed appearance, which has had its influence with a number of individuals. Yet you faithfully concealed all this from us. But I have been shown that the counsel and straight testimony will not cease as long as God has anything to do with this church and with the office. The plain testimonies will cut to the right and left, and the church will have to be hewed and squared. The planing knife of God will pass over them, and if individuals will not bear the straight work, they will be laid aside as useless timber, unfit to have any place in the cause or work of God. Harriet, I was shown the past position John occupied after he went to Wakon. The spirit of rebellion that arose there is not dead yet, but quite a number are standing in just that uncertain position, taking no decided stand, with but little spirit of present truth, having no sense of the work of God, and the seeds of rebellion that have taken root there would spring up very easily.
I saw that Brother John had suffered in his mind extremely. Satan magnified many things before him, and he has represented Paris and Rochester affairs to others in a wrong light. Brother John has been driven almost to insanity. The visit at Wakon was timely, and God wrought there in great power. John was convinced that God was in the work, and he has made great efforts to resist the suggestions of Satan and to be united with us in the work of God. He needs help. He has suffered. He has been fiercely buffeted and has made strong efforts to get every difference under his feet and to have his mind directed in the right channel. And not a shadow of unbelief should be thrown in his path. He should receive help in this matter. And if those who have influence with Brother John will exert that influence as they should, take their position decidedly in relation to the work of God and stand upon it, it will be a strength to Brother John, and he may yet be entirely free. But in order to be free,
He must see the past and realize something of the wrong influence he has exerted, that his influence told on the side of the enemy's ranks. I saw that his family do not stand clear. Dissatisfaction is in their minds in regard to James and things which have occurred in the past. They will not stand in the light until they wipe out the past by confessing their wrong course in opposing the testimonies given them of God, and are united with the work of God. Their own selfish feelings and views stand directly in their way. They must either yield their feelings, if it tears them all to pieces, or the visions must be given up. There will be either full union or disunion. The crisis has come. The warfare that has been waged against James and the testimonies given of God must be given up if everyone in that office is removed. Oh, Harriet, your past course for months was unfolded to me. Your opposition of feelings to James, your manifesting so much agony of feelings if there is counsel or the slightest reproof given in the office, and your professing so much fear of James as though he were a tyrant. You have been deceived and acted under a perfect deception of the devil, and have deceived others in regard to James. The least advice or counsel has been construed into a reproof, and you have stood prepared to have your feelings reined up to the highest pitch, and then your unreconciled, strong, set, willful feelings have been carried out into manifestations of great agony, which have had the worst possible influence upon Uriah, and have had a complete tendency to tear him from James and cause him to consider himself and you abused, when it was all a deception of Satan. You, who ought to have been a help to Uriah and sought to have relieved his mind if burdened or in trial, have taken a course to excite and stir up his mind, throwing him into perplexity and bringing upon him the greatest trials he has ever suffered, and all this without a cause. You have cruelly injured and wronged James. You have been perfectly controlled by the enemy. I saw that he had borne and suffered in that office as God did not require him to suffer again. I saw it would have been much better for you to have left the office entirely than to remain and exert the influence that you have. I saw that there has not been that care taken that there should have been to have only those in the office who were true to one another and devoted to the work of God. You have been very close with us in regard to your true feelings, but have sympathized with others and expressed great dissatisfaction of James's course, and have received sympathy in return. Your manifesting so much suffering of mind has awakened strong sympathy in others when you had no foundation for such feelings, but your own imagination wrought upon by a tempting enemy. Your appearance has exerted the worst possible influence. If you had felt aggrieved, Brother White was the one for you to have gone to and freely unburdened your mind to him. Then you would have been convinced that your feelings arose from prejudice, misunderstanding, and misconstruction of his words. God's frown is upon these things, that a company so closely connected in his work as Uriah, Harriet, and James should be so exclusive and secretive as you have been. Those who labor together in that office, their souls must be one. Every separate interest should be laid aside, and they should have perfect confidence in each other and perfect frankness and openness. And I saw it must be so. Your influence has been against this. I saw that things in that office must go forward with entirely different feelings and from different principles, or God will have everything in that office turned upside down. For months, Harriet, you have felt wrong, acted wrong, and spoken wrong, and been controlled by the enemy. You may call your feelings grief, but you have not realized your condition. You have at times manifested anger, and you have been selfish. The present truth has rested very lightly upon you, and selfishness has woven itself closely with nearly all you do. It is the natural besetment of your family, and it is a sin which God has rebuked them for, but which they would not confess. You have never realized it as it is. Your influence, instead of strengthening and helping Uriah, has hindered him and planted in his breast feelings which would never have existed there if you had been consecrated to God. Your influence, appearance, and actions have had just that strong influence on the wrong side that the Lord showed me 2 years ago that they would have, unless you stood in the counsel of God, consecrated to His service, with your judgment sanctified by His Spirit. Had you heeded the vision given you and Uriah 2 years ago, you would have saved much. But you neglected all that light, chose your own views of matters, have been free to make confidants of those you should not, but have been very close and secretive to us, whom of all others you should confide in. This is the greatest injustice. Many times has God shown the responsibility and burden He has laid upon James. Gladly would he be free from it, and he would have thrown it off if he dared to. But he fears the displeasure of God. God has placed him in the office, but in what light have you regarded him? As an intruder, a meddler into that which in no way concerned him, taking upon him things which did not belong to him. How much union have you had with the Spirit of God, or His work, or His teachings? The visions do not bear with any weight upon your mind. I have been shown that the Lord would have a shrewd manager in that office, one that will reprove, and one that will not be dumb and senseless to wrongs or carelessness. He will have someone there who is sensitive to wrong, quick to feel, and who feels that the cause is a part of them, a part of their very existence. Uriah and you have not felt this as you should. When a word, admonition, or even counsel is given which crosses your feelings and ideas, instead of looking closely and seeing that there was a cause for it, and confessing that you might be wrong, you have kept silent and considered you were suffering wrongfully and Brother White was censorious, exacting, and severe. Oh, Harriet, whether you realize it or not, these feelings came from a selfish, unconsecrated heart. Brother White is not perfect. In the ardor of his feelings, he may speak too strongly. And if you at any time felt injured, and in confidence opened your mind to him, he would not be backward to relieve your mind of any burden which he consistently could. And if you and Uriah were as free to confess when you erred as he has been, there would not be the trouble which now exists. I saw that Satan had taken advantage of his open, frank manner to tell his whole heart. You have thought him like yourself, lay up things, say nothing about them, and if a word is spoken by him in plainness that there must be more where that came from, when you have the whole, for he does not hide things in his heart. God does not look with approbation upon this close, exclusive, secretive disposition. If an unconsecrated one is reproved by Brother White, you are prepared to sympathize with and confide in him. You messed with Carrie, Caroline Carpenter, linked yourself with her, strongly sympathized with her. You could not discern her wrong or why she was not fit help in the office because of your own darkness. These are the same feelings which you brought from Paris and exercised in Rochester.
Instead of you confiding in those whose interest was in the work of God and the truth, you let your love and sympathy run out for the unconsecrated and linked with them. You carried the same spirit with you to walk on and have exercised the same in Battle Creek. You have things to straighten in the past. You have a work to do. When in Paris, you strengthened each other's hands in sympathizing and linking together. There was selfishness there that never died. There was not deep searching of heart to confess wrongs and make thorough work by the two families. The same feelings exist with them now. They have despised reproof, despised the visions, blinded their eyes as to their own situation. God's hand has been laid heavily upon them, but they acknowledged not that it was He.
Harriet, Brother Andrew's and Stephen's families have stood right in the way of John. They might help him if they would, but they have so long neglected to see themselves and confess frankly their wrongs that they have been carried by the enemy into the fog and mist so far. And they have so long neglected to confess their past wrongs, I fear that they never will take a position to help John. His mind has been in such a state that a continual dropping of words calculated to excite his mind and unsettle it has kept him in a confused state. But I saw that it was impossible for the special blessing of God to attend his labors unless he takes a decided stand in regard to the teachings of God. His influence at the time of the removal of the office was all on the wrong side. He strengthened the hands of those whom the frown of God was upon. He unsettled the mind of Henry Nichols in regard to the visions, and Henry never recovered. He worked on the side of the enemy's ranks. He knew not the spirit he was of. Harriet, the link which the Lord showed me years ago has never yet been broken. There is a leaning to each other, a strong tie of sympathy that is in direct opposition to the Spirit of God. That influence which affected you in Paris, that you brought to Rochester with you, has affected you in Battle Creek, and your close connection with Uriah and the work of God has affected him. And he has had feelings and impressions that would never have existed had it not originated away back in Paris. There has been a perfect chain of connection from Paris to Battle Creek. And the influence of John's opinions and his position and views and your feelings and views have been instilled into Uriah until he has had a dignity in some matters which God has frowned upon. I have been shown that it was impossible that there should be any better state of things in the future until clean work is made of the past. For if matters are now partially settled, these wrong feelings, opinions, and views will be just as liable to occur again. The cause of God is in a critical state, and unless there is now thorough work made, there will be an open door for Satan to come in again and take the lead of matters to suit himself. Never can there be any degree of union with you in this work in the office until wrong links and influences are broken, ties and sympathies that have been misplaced are severed, and a thorough acknowledgement made of God's work in the past. But as matters now stand, there is no safety, no bars to keep Satan out. And is the work of God to go on thus? Bitter have been your feelings, and without a cause. I dare not smooth over matters. The time has come when we must know who is on the Lord's side. The cause of God calls for immediate action, and those who cannot endure the smallest test of their fidelity now, what will they do when the dragon host is at war with those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus? The feelings of Jeanette, Francis Jeanette Stevens, and Angeline Andrews, nay Stevens, have not been in union with the work of God. They have chosen to believe that their course and ways have been right
rather than to believe the visions. But the time will soon come when they will be compelled to see matters as they are, when the past will be too late for remedy. I repeat, there has been a perfect chain of dissatisfaction all the way from Paris to Battle Creek. I saw that you could help in the cause of God if you were right, but in your present state, with your feelings, you would only be a curse. There have been two spirits in the office at Rochester and two spirits in the office at Battle Creek, and the Lord has shown me that the spirit of reproof should never die out of the office. It will live there just as long as the office exists. If Uriah and James are connected in that office, their interests are one, and the barrier that has been placed between them must be broken down and they be in perfect union, having confidence in each other, or not labor in connection at all. I saw that you have cruelly wronged James without a cause. God has given James a position to occupy. You have been at war with it. 2 years ago was the reproof given for Uriah and yourself. Read it all over and see if it has been heeded. I saw that the Lord's hand has sustained James, but your feelings have been to tear him down. Harriet, may the Lord give you a full sense of the part you have been acting. Your selfish feelings would lead you to tear Uriah from the office that you might enjoy his company more exclusively yourself. But it would be a fearful step for you both.
I have been shown faults and wrongs of individuals who professed perfect confidence in the visions, but found fault with the instrument. The natural feelings of their heart rise up in rebellion against the visions which had exposed their errors and evil. Instead of humbly acknowledging they had erred, they found fault with the manner in which the vision was delivered. They took the position that a part of it was correct and the part of it was a mistake, that I had been told circumstances and thought that the Lord had shown them to me in vision. Has God placed his work in such a careless manner that man could fashion it to suit his own inclinations, receive that which was agreeable to him, and reject a portion? Would God give visions to correct his people of their errors, and then trust to the erring one's judgment to receive or reject what portion of them he pleased? What would be the use of visions in the church if held in this light? Or if erring individuals in their darkness were left to make what application of them they pleased. This is not the way that God works. If God reproves his people through an individual, he does not leave the one corrected to guess at matters and the message to become corrupted in reaching the person it is designed to correct. God gives the message and then takes a special care that it is not corrupted. The visions are either of God or the devil. There is no halfway position to be taken in the matter. God does not work in partnership with Satan. Those who occupy this position cannot stand there long. They go a step farther and account the instrument God has used a deceiver and the woman Jezebel. If, after they had taken the first step, it should be told them what position they would soon occupy in regard to the visions, they would have resented it as a thing impossible. But Satan leads them on blindfolded, in a perfect deception in regard to the true state of their feelings, until he takes them in his snare. Grievous sins have been rebuked in individuals whom the church was holding in close fellowship, believing them to be devoted, sincere Christians. The persons reproved have risen up against the visions, contradicted their truthfulness, and have received the sympathy of some of the church. But time has proved the visions correct. Facts have been brought to confirm and establish them. At times I have had but little courage to write to individuals what I had been shown in regard to them. For so many take the visions which have been written to them
with feelings of the deepest anguish and in tears. They lay it aside, some with a feeling of indifference. Others say, "I believe the visions, but Sister White has made a mistake in writing it. She has heard reports of these things and has got it mixed up with her visions and thinks she saw it all." Oh, what a fixing up in this! What foolish positions Satan will lead some to take in their blindness, who are unwilling to humble themselves and see and confess their faults. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Satan exults that he can lead individuals to deceive themselves into a belief that they are right, when God frowns upon their wrongs. God seeth not as man seeth, and when he shows what is in erring man's heart, and the message is trampled underfoot, and he turns from it, saying, "There must be a mistake in the matter. I am about right." They are like the Pharisee who repeated his good works. "I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I thank thee that I am not as other men." Luke 18, verse 12. They comfort themselves with their good deeds, and Satan then directs their mind in a channel to please himself. Many times have I felt to say, "Oh, my soul, canst thou persevere in such a warfare as this?" Then again I could say, "The battle is the Lord's, and if I am a co-worker with him, the victory will be ours." When the Lord sees fit to give me a vision, I am taken into the presence of Jesus and angels and am lost to earthly things. I can see no farther than the angel directs me. My attention is often directed to scenes transpiring upon earth. At times I am carried far ahead into the future and shown what is to take place. Then again I am shown things as they have occurred in the past. After I come out of vision, I do not at once remember all that I have seen, and the matter is not so clear before me until I write. Then the scene rises before me as was presented in vision, and I can write with freedom. Sometimes the things which I have seen are hid from me after I come out of vision, and I cannot call to mind the first circumstance. But when brought before a company where that vision applies, the things which I have seen come to my mind with force. I am just as dependent upon the Spirit of the Lord in relating or writing a vision as in having the vision. It is impossible to call up things which have been shown me unless the Lord brings the same before me at the time and on the occasion that He is pleased to have me relate it.